Well, good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to the morning show today. It is Wednesday, April 23rd, and I'm Susie Prez, and today we'll be talking with folks, two gals from the Sandpoint Farmers Market, Olivia Gonzalez. She's the new market manager, and board chair, Christina Bauer. The market is a gem in our community. We all know that. When we need food, we go there in the summer, in the growing season. And it is about to start. It starts May 3rd. So we're going to hear all about it and kind of some of the deeper intricacies of this gem in our community. So thank you, Christina, for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Olivia, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Susie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to our interview and talk about that a little bit, about the farmer's market. It's called the Sandpoint Farmer's Market.
Officially, we're the farmer's market at Sandpoint.
Okay,
yeah.
Good to know.
Yes.
The farmer's market at Sandpoint.
Yes.
And that's where you would find it on the website, probably, on a web.
Yeah, so actually, ironically, sandpointfarmersmarket.com is the website, but we recognize ourselves as Farmer's Market at Sandpoint, or FMS, if we're needing to save some syllables.
Okay. So let's, again, let's just meet each of you and find out what you do as a board president and as a market manager, Olivia and Christina. Who wants to start? A little bit about yourself, why you're doing this, and how it lives in you as far as the work you do with the Farmer's Market at Sandpoint. Your roles at the market. We'll start with Olivia. Olivia Gonzalez.
Yeah, thanks, Susie. I'm Olivia. I'm a local Sandpoint mom. I've got four beautiful children, and I've been a patron of the market since I moved here about 12 years ago. And even beyond that, I grew up in Bonners Ferry and always went to the farmer's market there as a child. And I kind of had my eye on this job, actually, for a few years. I saw it posted and kind of thought, gosh, that seems like something I would love to do. I saw it last year, and I just thought, oh, my youngest is a little too young for me to take that on. But then this year, I saw the posting and thought, I'm going to go for it. And I got hired in January, and it's been great. It's been challenging at times, for sure. The market manager role is really multifaceted, and it's a big learning curve. But I have truly enjoyed it. The board is amazing, super helpful. It's been really fantastic to get to know some of the vendors, and I'm looking forward to actually being at the market also.
Well, you will be there. We know.
Yes.
You.
Yes.
A question I have is, you said it's multifaceted, the position as market manager. You're going to be there. You probably have your kids there. And by the way, they are beautiful children. And I actually knew you when you were born, and a little girl up in Bonners Ferry, because I lived up there too. I see you at the market.
Yep.
Running around. So what will you be doing? Is it seasonal, first of all? Is there a beginning and an end to it? And is it just hands-on market time? Or kind of give us a description of what you imagine it to be.
Yeah.
It'd probably be more than that.
Well, I mean, I've been working for the market for a while. There's so much preemptive work that goes into it. And Christina and I have been just working really hard to kind of streamline our systems and communication. Even, you know, now I'm who you'll hear from in the email. I answer the phones. We get tons of applicants, and I'm sort of that liaison between the board and the applicants and even the community. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm responsible for our reader ads and social media, and we're doing a newsletter and so many, many things. I book the music.
You're kind of the executive director.
Honestly, I mean, there isn't much that happens at the market that doesn't fall under the manager's purview, because they're responsible for receiving and reviewing all of the applications that come in, vetting some of those before they go to jurying and approval. The role is responsible for setting up the map and making sure that people are kind of in the right place according to what their work is, that everybody's happy with where they are. You're talking about a really diverse group of people who come together for a sort of a larger outcome, but there's a lot of moving parts to coordinate. And we've been fortunate. I mean, everybody who's been in this role has brought so much to help kind of make it happen.
Yeah.
Part of what's really exciting about Olivia being with us is that the approach this time in training her is about kind of reclaiming what are we doing well? Where can we be better so that what is already such an asset for the community and such kind of I think of it really as like a dynamic destination. It's kind of a living thing.
Yeah.
It's the market's never the same twice. And so, part of what Olivia has responsibility for is kind of helping to bring it to life and creating an environment where it can thrive. And she brings a whole new scrutiny and attention and passion and curiosity, which is really great for us. So,
are you ready for this, Olivia?
Ready or not?
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Well, I want to get to some of those exact aspects of it, and we'll circle around back to that. Things such as the vendors and how you vet and, you know, give them their parameters and find spots for them. And we want to get to the whole music, because I was thinking the other day, without the music, the market would just be different. It wouldn't be that festive feeling to it. Mm-hmm. But let's also talk to Christina about your role as the board, what the board does, how the board holds the fiscal and legal aspects of the market, farmers market at Sandpoint. So tell us about your position, how long you've been in it, and are you also a vendor?
I am a vendor. Mm-hmm. So I am a farm vendor. I joined the market in 2021 and at the close of my first season inquired about joining the board. So I spent a year on the board initially just kind of in discovery, learning how the board works and understanding what the market's mission was and kind of seeing that in action through the board's work. And the following year, I moved up to vice president, knowing that Emily, who had been serving as our president for a number of years and had really, she had her hands full, also, you know, beautiful babies happening and a lot going on as a farmer of a scale that I'm not at. When she indicated that she was interested in possibly stepping back so she could reclaim some of her time, I thought it was a great opportunity for me to get in. And really, the role of board president, it involves, I think, kind of helping to set the tone, but also maintaining the integrity of what this market has been since it started. The individuals who put it together had a very grassroots mindset with an eye to lifting up local individuals who were farming, working the land, you know, bringing their skills and their craft to something really particular that they were passionate about. And the board does its job in kind of making sure that the structure has the integrity it needs, and also broadly that we're a match for all of our stakeholders. So our vendors need things from us in terms of what we deliver by way of, you know, spaces and a certain amount of communication and a certain amount of clarity about expectations. The community has an expectation that we're going to be there and it's going to be robust and it's going to be fun and it's going to be safe and there's going to be interesting people there, interesting things to see. So I feel like the board really, for me, I don't come in looking to change anything, but the role itself is responsible, I think, for just making sure that the market continues, that it continues to reach for improvements relative to how it's serving its mission, and also that it's meeting the moment in our town of, like, you know, what is it that we need? And I think things like fresh, locally grown food are really at the top of the list.
At the top of the list.
Yeah.
You talk about the mission of the market. Do you have a formal mission statement that you could read to us?
We do. It's really, really tiny and concise and very, very focused. The Farmers Market at Sandpoint supports local agriculture through education and a diverse community market.
So what does that mean to the board? How do they look at that and then facilitate making sure that is met?
I think one of the first things I noticed, I don't know that I could speak for everybody that this is the top of the pile, but for me, the thing that really gave me pause when I first joined was that it became very clear very quickly as we were vetting new vendors that absolutely everybody that we speak to, when you go to the farmer's market at Sandpoint, the vendor in the booth is the grower or the maker. So this isn't an employee who's been sent out to set up a booth, who's on a clock. These are folks who are profoundly invested. They've got skin in the game. A lot of them are up at 4 a.m. They've got greenhouses that blow down. They're working all winter long, you know, refining the details of their crafts. to me, there was a really big piece about, my gosh, when you go to this market and you stop to engage any one of those vendors, you're talking to the person who put in the time, did the work, studied what needed to be studied, whether it was years of experience working land or skills building with respect to a fine art or a craft. And that's really reflected in how we jury, in that when folks come, we're looking to know, we're looking for an emphasis on local, original, things that we feel can support the community because they're useful, they're practical, and they're sourced from within.
Okay, so that the board holds that intention and has hired, are there any other employees besides the market manager?
No other paid employees. So we have four officers. We have a president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. We have a board consisting of one community liaison member who kind of informs against the broader picture of what the communities are, what our relationship is with them. But no, the market manager is the only paid responsible point person because, as you can imagine, our board members are themselves vendors. Mm-hmm. So on any given Saturday, we're all engaged with our own businesses representing ourselves and being real time involved with the people who visit us. So Olivia's role is critical because she's the moving part that sets up the success of the day that the rest of us are all having.
Mm-hmm. So let's move back over to Olivia because this is a huge job.
Yes.
And I would say that during the growing season or during the market season, you're almost full time. Would you say?
Well, I mean, this is, I haven't actually started it yet, so okay.
We'll know soon.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously I'm there, I'm there Saturdays, 7 a.m. till it's done, and then Wednesdays also, and then the rest of it, I have board meetings, but a lot of it I can kind of do in my own time, which is really great for me as a mom. And, but yeah, it's hustling. It's checking my email very early before the kids are up for school or just fitting it in.
Staying on top of it.
Staying on top of everything.
All the applications that might come in for new vendors.
Yeah.
And, okay, so let's just go through the whole scheme of things and either one can talk about it. So where do we start? Let's talk about the time of the market. So it's Saturday and Wednesday. What are the times?
Saturday from 9 to 1, beginning on May the 3rd. Our first Wednesday is the Wednesday following. Wednesdays are from 3 to 5:30.
And you have a little bell that's rung when the market is officially sting open.
Yep. There's a cowbell that will go off to alert everybody that it's on.
Yeah. And I think that's a good idea because I would imagine the vendors are getting ready, putting the food out, and people could come up 20 minutes early and
they try.
Can I just get that head of lettuce over there?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a qualification? Well, let's talk about the vendors then. So we've got the time and how it opens and everything. The vendors apply. Do they have to apply every year once they're in?
Yeah, they do.
So it's like an annual application.
Yeah.
And what is the criteria that you're looking for? You say you have to vet them or jury them. What is the criteria? Does it have to be organic?
It does not have to be. It does not have to be organic. Do you want to take the broader?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the farmers, it's pretty straightforward. You know, they have to be growing or cultivating their produce food within 100 miles of farm and park. And yeah, I've been actually super impressed with how thoroughly the board reviews these applicants and really makes sure that our requirements are met. But farmers is pretty straightforward. And then as far as our fine arts and crafts and ready to eat food, the board has really high standards with what they're looking for. And that's just necessary because we get so many applicants and they review the, where are your items sourced? What is it we have? Well, I can kind of start from step one, if that makes more sense. So we get an application. It comes through the email. I review it just to make sure, there's nothing wildly out of scope or totally not a fit. And then they get grouped into, they get a chance to select a juring session, and that is where our board meets and We have certain vetting questions that they answer. Where is the source? What materials are you using? What is your creative process? If it's something that is a food, the board tastes it, tries everything. Mm-hmm. People submit their samples. I've just been super impressed to see everything that is sold at that market is held and seen and reviewed beforehand.
No surprises.
Mm. No surprises.
Yeah.
So what about someone who wants to just have a table with information on it?
Well, I think it would depend on if we're talking about a business who's hoping to kind of make connections in the community. We do offer spaces for local nonprofits and for a certain amount of fundraising relative to things like athletic teams. So like high school teams looking to raise money for whether it's uniforms or a class trip, that kind of thing. So there are a number of spaces that, as available on the map, we make available. Yeah, but those broadly, to be a vendor at the market, officially a vendor, you need to either be a farmer, a fine arts and crafts person, or a food and beverage person. And each of those categories has unique qualifiers about what we're looking for. And I've kind of come to think of it, it's really difficult to say this is the perfect, like this is the thing, but I've kind of come to think of it like a bullseye of the closer you are to these circles that inform your work, the more likely you are to move through the jurying process and be approved. So the closer you are to Farm and Park and the closer that your source materials come from there, whether they're things that you've grown, things you've foraged, things you've wildcrafted to be able to use, you know, the sticks in wood and metalwork, whatever it might be, we kind of have our guidelines of like the closer you are to that mark, the closer you are to the highest standard of what the market has.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the sourdough bread guy. I know he sources his wheat from Montana.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's just keep talking about the vendors and how you bring them in. So you have some one-offs that someone might just want a booth one time.
Yeah.
That might be a club, a high school athletic club. And then what about some of the regular market vendors, if they can't make it a week or something happens to their crop, or they're just not going to be able to come in?
It's real easy. They just communicate with Olivia.
Yep. Yeah. 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 So I'm kind of looking at that. I'm tracking the communications and every week setting up the map and seeing who's here, who's not. And so it's a lot of communication.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So do you have a big map with little tiny things that you kind of...
Yeah, she's about to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Have one. That would be fun, actually. You could put it up on the wall.
Yeah.
And do some of the vendors want... Well, like you said, you didn't mention that, specific spots. Mm-hmm. Because they've been there forever.
Yes.
Also, that helps the purchaser, or the customer, so to speak, find their person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always want to go over to that one. Where did they go? They're not here.
Yeah.
So kind of they stay consistent with where they've been.
Yeah. Folks who have attended more than 12 markets in a season, who are members in good standing, you know, there have been no challenges. If they intend to return the following season and everything looks good, if it's available, we will invite them to choose what we call a regular space or a permanent space. Oh. And so based on seniority as available, we try to make it possible as much as possible for the vendors that are there regularly to be easily regularly met by the customers that are looking for them.
Well, that makes sense. While we're talking, I keep thinking about those first farmers market people that just wanted to share their bounty from their garden.
Yeah.
What they would think of the market now. It's very organized. It has to be. It's a large process and production, you might say. So I just wonder what they would think of it now.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, Lois Wythe, who is responsible for the original sort of brainstorm behind, hey, what would happen if, and, you know, she produced a little flyer and invited folks to come. Mm-hmm. I think she would be astonished at how complicated the processes are behind the scenes, because it is kind of a, I mean, at this point, one of the wonderful things is that because it's become so important to our vendors and to our community, it also means that it's growing at a point where we really want to pay attention to how well we grow, and that we can make sure that, you know, we're as strong as we can be in terms of our systems, our processes. There is, I have to say, I feel for Olivia, because there's a lot of stuff that comes fast and furious, and every couple of weeks, it's like you move into, weirdly, she's going to have seasons just like our farmers do, of like there's application season, there's permit licensing insurance season, there's you know, map planning season, there's promotion season, there's reporting season. So like, I mean, she's going to be experiencing something not too dissimilar from what a lot of the farmers do, of every week she wakes up with some new thing that she's going to be meeting to help us keep the wheels on the bus. Mm-hmm.
So a vendor, yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
A vendor applies and gets vetted or juried in. You're in. What does it cost to be a vendor? I'm sure there's different categories.
Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I can take it. So we offer, depending on how often folks want to be there, you can either be there Wednesdays only, Saturdays only, or Wednesdays and mm-hmm. Saturdays. And then in each of those combinations, you have choices as well. So you can do a single day pass, pay just to be there for one Wednesday or a handful of Wednesdays, same with the Saturdays. There are also season passes. So you can do a Saturday only pass or Wednesday only pass where you have access for any of those days throughout the season. What people choose depends on how often they think they're going to be there. So mm-hmm. we have some farmers who have things that are in limited season, so they won't be there May the 3rd because what they grow won't be ripe and ready until June or July. Right. We have other folks who are fine artists who have been working hard all winter and can't wait to mm-hmm. stock up the booth and begin to sell some of the things they've been working on. So it a little bit depends on the vendor, what the vendor wants to do, mm-hmm. but there's options for everything. We did this year because handling for the market manager, handling a single vendor that is moving a lot in terms of I'm coming, I'm not coming, I don't have a permanent space. We did raise the daily fee. Mm-hmm. this year so that we could make sure that we covered the time associated with managing those vendors. But the daily pass, season pass, and the season passes have not changed. And so that's kind of an amazing thing for what the market actually mm-hmm. offers, that we could have been able to keep that the same.
Do you want to talk about the pricing?
Well, so it's $450. I know that off the top of my head for an all-season pass for everything.
For a full booth, too. Yeah, that's a 10x10.
Exactly, for a 10x10 booth. And yeah. I only know that one because that's the one that I always do myself. That's so I know it right off the top of my head.
It is. Yeah. I've got the numbers here if you want me to just run through them. Sure. If you think, yeah. So, and that's the $450 is Saturdays and Wednesdays. So literally that's our highest price for a season pass for a 10x10. Yep. And then our half booth for Saturdays and Wednesdays, that's a 5x10 booth, is $250. And then if you're kind of, you know, new to the market and you just want to start out and do Wednesdays, that's a shorter market and just a little less hectic, we all know. Mm-hmm. You can do a full booth for $200 and a half booth for $100.
For the whole season.
For the whole season. For just the Wednesday. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have our single day passes, which for a Saturday, it's $40 for a full booth space and $25 for a half. And then a Wednesday single day passes are $15 for a full booth and $10 for a half booth space. Mm-hmm. And I'll also just mention our application fee is $20. Which is also really reasonable, mm-hmm. and our membership fee is $50. So everyone kind of pays that to be a member of our vendor community.
Mm-hmm. A few years ago, the market was just in the park, and then it expanded out
Oak
Street, yeah. Right. And so you had to work with the city to get that roads blocked off and things like that. Has it been fruitful for the market and for our community to have that extra space?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we would have been able to accommodate the number of vendors that have wanted to join us. I mean, I know I didn't have to navigate the really challenging couple of years that COVID so heavily impacted the market. And so for me coming back, I know that there was a certain amount of the market finding its legs again after having had to lay off for a season. And Oak Street makes it possible for us to have some of those fine arts and crafts vendors basically in the street. They have it's level for them, so it's a little bit easier. You know, some of our farmers can kind of stack crates and they're a little more used to kind of making it work. Whereas the fine arts and crafts people, I think they appreciate that they have a regular space that's easy and flat and has reasonable access up and down it for pedestrians and for traffic. We are I think beginning now to kind of approach and probably pass some of the numbers we had prior to COVID of how many folks were participating, because the numbers had gone down. So this is the moment where we would really miss it if we weren't able to get it again. And we're hopeful that this year we can even begin to expand. The city's been kind enough. We regularly have access to Jeff Jones, the little, the fountain space down by the mural. And we're hoping we can incorporate that a little bit more this season, too. We'll have to see based on, you know, what the saturation is for Farm and Park and Oak Street. But it's wonderful to be able to have the larger the footprint the market has, the more broad the experience of everyone who visits and wanders. And to me, that keeps people in our market environment and in our market community for longer.
And keeps the market centrally located in the heart of our city, our wonderful little city. Okay, so that's, I'm just trying to think of moving on to the mood of the market, where, you know, it has such a festive mood. But see, do we want to hear a little song, just take a 2-minute song break?
Sure, sure.
And kind of circle back to some of this stuff. We're going to hear Mark Knopfler and Chet Atkins. This is an instrumental, I'll See You in My Dreams. It's really a cool guitar piece.
Awesome.
So we'll be right back. In about 2 minutes, stay with us. We're talking with and we're back in the studio live with our guest today on this Wednesday, April 23rd morning show. I'm Susie Prez, and I'm here with, we're talking with the Sam Farmers Market at Sam Point, the new market manager, Olivia Gonzalez, and Christina Bauer. She's the board president. So we heard a lot of information about how great the market is, kind of the physical locality, and also how to get into the market and why you might want to. But now let's talk about how the market works throughout the season. There's different moods, there's different opportunities, you know, like the Children's Day, the different celebrations you might have. I know at the end we have a big harvest market.
Yep.
And you mentioned something, Olivia, about a library interaction. So tell us what that season looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give a little and then maybe Christina can pipe in as well. So, you know, obviously we start with opening day on May 3rd, and that to me is always a really exciting day. It kind of feels like we're all coming out of our hibernation and, you know, we made it, we're here, and there's plants, and it's always really fun. And then moving from there, there's Lost in the 50s coming up, which is a really busy, busy weekend around these parts.
I wonder if the city lot will be finished by then.
That's what they tell us.
Okay.
That's what they tell us.
That's the parking lot.
Yeah, that was the last I had heard, although there might be an update. But yeah, they're working on it. I know.
And then something kind of new this year that I'm really excited about. I've been working with Kelly, who was the previous market manager and now works at the library, and we're going to do a little collaboration for children at the market starting, I believe, in June on Wednesdays. She's going to come and host a STEM-related activity for all ages. So it's really great for those moms out there who want to shop and maybe want their kids to be occupied for a little bit of time so they can, you know, really look around, and I think it's going to be a big benefit for that Wednesday market, so be sure to come check that out.
And that starts in June?
In June, yeah, and Kelly said she's going to have activities from, you know, 2 to 11 ages, so I'm excited for what she's going to bring and offer. And
I think she needs to bring helpers.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Have the older ones help with the younger ones, I think. Yeah, she seemed confident, and I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And what else?
In terms of kind of regular activities, so often the bookmobile also from the library is there. We're really fortunate that Chef Alana Eckhart, who has done a couple of things she's done quite a bit for many of the restaurants and food providers in town. She partnered with us last year to do something called Taste of the Market, where she would plan according to what was coming in fresh and new to the market. She would plan a menu item featuring materials and produce you could get at the market. And I got to say, I was lucky enough to be close enough to the booth that I got at least one or two samples of those in the past. And her food is incredible. So folks
How
who join
often
us.
Is she there?
Well, I don't know what she's set
I think
up for
about
this year.
Once a month she's going to come.
Yeah.
This
and we're,
season,
and we
yeah.
will, as soon as we've got the dates nailed with her, we will place the information. And then after she's done, after she's created it and shared it at the market, we try to also share the recipes because they're incredible.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Taste of the market.
Taste of the market is what is what we've come to call it. And so whatever is kind of at its peak, she likes to kind of highlight that, which means if somebody was visiting and wasn't familiar, they could easily go to the market, pick up a copy of that recipe and have something absolutely incredible made by, you know, guided by a private chef that night.
And what was her name?
Alana Eckhart is her name.
Okay.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
You said Chef Alana, and I thought her name was Chef Alana.
No, I think everybody calls her Chef Alana because she is a chef. I mean,
an incredible chef.
Yes, an incredible chef. She has all of our respect, so I think we start with chef like you would with doctor for someone who was formally trained.
Chef Alana.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's other things that are happening, but keep your eyes open. You never know. I think one of the things about the market, the farmer's market at Sandpoint, is the fact that new things do pop up and kind of innovative and fun.
Yeah, and always, like Olivia said, so at the earliest markets, you're going to find that a lot of our growers are bringing plant starts that you can take home to be able to put in your garden yourself. We have a number of growers who are brave enough to have wind tunnels and frames that allow them to grow in colder seasons. So some of them are able to bring like spring greens really early, earlier than the rest of us could cultivate them in our garden. So those first markets always kind of represent the earliest cold season stuff and very early or even late season sometimes, and then other things. But as you start to move into like June, you'll begin to see there'll be fewer of the plant starts. You'll start to move into some of the really fresh excitement, like, okay, here come the strawberries. Strawberries always seem to be kind of an intoxicating day. The first day strawberries make it to market, all of us are kind of a little drunk on the strawberries are here. But it continues like that through the season of, you know, high summer. It has its features and moments. Inevitably, the first day the corn man is there is always also kind of epic because everybody's waiting on that fresh corn from the field. And as you move into harvest, you start to get into like gourds and, you know, root vegetables. But there's always something new that's getting ready to come in that the farmers are taking care of at home, always.
Yep. And don't forget about Kids Day, too. We have our Kids Day in August where kids can apply and bring things that they have made for sale. Yeah, that's a really sweet day.
I bet your kids are involved in something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they are.
They're planning it already.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the mood of the market then, because I know that it has an actual mood, that there's all the people, there's the sounds of the market, and then there's the music. And I was thinking, well, why do farmers markets have music? Because if you didn't have that, it would just kind of be dull. It would be a job. It would be like, well, you're looking at beautiful, fresh food and stuff like that and talking to the farmers, which is really fun. But so we have great music, actually, in both days, Wednesdays and Saturdays. So how does that work? Tell us about that. And then you mentioned when we were off air something about the music sponsorship program. So just tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, like you said, the music is a really vital part of the market and kind of keeping that festive atmosphere. And I think, speaking personally, there's been so many times where I've come and, you know, you're kind of chatting, you're looking around, and then it's like, whoa, who's that artist? I've never heard of them. I've never seen them. It's also a really mutually beneficial platform for artists to kind of get their music out there. It's sort of, you know, a little low stakes. It's not like people are sitting right there staring at you. So I think it's a great opportunity for the many incredible local artists that we have to get their name out there. And
how does someone apply? Are you full already for this year?
We are not full. It fills up quick. It does. But we are not full, especially for that Wednesday slot. We've got quite a lot of availability there. And if you go to our website, it's really easy. There's a tab, Music at the Market, and you can read about how it works and also apply there. There's no application fee for the music vendors. It's just apply, and then we get some information, and then I'll be responding back to those applicants.
And the market pays too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pay. Yeah, we pay our musicians. Yeah.
I'm just laughing. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
And you try to have a variety of music yep. too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we try to have a variety. Yeah, I think it's a really great piece of the market for sure. And one thing that's new this year that I wanted to mention is our music sponsorship program, which I'm really excited about because, as you said, we do pay our musicians, which we're very happy to do, but it's also one of the biggest pieces of our budget is making those payments. And so we thought, you know, what a great way to get some businesses involved who are looking for community engagement. You can sponsor a week of music or a month of music, and you'll get, you know, a sign with your name right on the stage, and you know there's a lot of eyes looking at that yeah. stage from all walks of life in this community.
So for businesses?
Yes. Yes, for businesses. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, for local businesses. I will be, you know, giving a thank you and a shout out before the musician for the sponsor. And yeah, it's a really great way to get your name out there if you're a business and you're just feeling like maybe you're getting lost on Instagram, you're not getting those eyes that you need. This would be a really unique opportunity to support a fantastic community organization and also get your name out to the community. So mm-hmm. if you're interested, if you're a business owner and you're interested, just head to our website and you can email or call me and I'd be happy to discuss it.
Yeah. So this is a new program.
Yeah.
Has
yeah.
anyone applied yet?
We have not had anyone commit yet. And I have kind of like a warm lead. I think they will. But that's kind of where the idea came. Someone actually just was in the inbox saying, hey, can we sponsor the market? And so I thought, well, sure. Let's make a program for this. Let's make something that's mutually beneficial to the business and us. Yeah. And so I haven't advertised it much. I've been so
swamped. I was going to say, we've been real quiet about it.
Yeah, we've been quiet about it.
We don't take that personally yet because yeah. we have not advertised it much. But it's a brand new thing that Olivia just created and put in place.
So this is breaking news.
Yes.
They say. And if you're a business out there listening right now and you'd like to sponsor music at the market, you can contact Olivia
yep.
on the website, which is sandpointfarmersmarket.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a great, as you said, a great way to get yourself out there because mm-hmm. Hundreds of people are going to see it
yes.
on a Saturday or a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure it's affordable too.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great thing. That's, I was thinking it's a great place for children, but you know, in the center there, the music's playing. On the little hills, they're running around, but kids still need to be watched. And then what about dogs?
So the dogs moment is one that is actually, it falls to the city. And you could, if we were not in Farm and Park, you can certainly navigate Farm and Park the way you would normally want to. However, at the farmer's market, you may not, in fact, bring your dog to the park during the market. Arguably, if you have a service dog, there are some allowances for being on the sidewalk. But the thing that's really difficult is so many of us are dog owners ourselves, and we're kind of goofy about our own dogs. And it's always challenging for us to remind people that we have a lot of folks who literally have foods stacked in crates and are preparing fresh mm-hmm. foods. And it takes about 2 seconds to miss what happens with an animal, and that can be enough to really create some problems. So between the traffic of, you know, people bumping into one another, challenges with one dog meeting another, the challenges of keeping the areas food safe, keeping them child safe, it is the city's rule that no dogs are allowed in Farm and Park for the market. So while we love dogs, we do have sure. to stand behind no dogs at
we
the market.
We all love dogs, but I'm really glad you have that rule. I'm sure you're challenged at times to, you know,
it's tough.
Control it.
Yeah, it can be challenging, but we do our best. I mean, our job is not to make the experience uncomfortable right. for anyone, but we do try to make sure that we're being equitable with respect to people paying attention to the rules, especially those that protect our vendors and our visitors. Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And I always think of, you know, what are some of your favorite memories from the market? I'm sure. Christina, why don't you tell us you're a vendor.
Yeah,
just
I am.
Briefly tell us about your booth.
Well, so I'm a farm vendor. Okay. Because I grow the majority of the materials that I use in what I make. I've been an herbalist and an aromatherapist and a maker for, oh God, how old am I? 30 years. I've been doing it for 30 years.
Are you alchemy?
Yes, I'm Untamed Alchemy.
Oh,
yeah.
I bought a bunch of stuff from
you.
Oh,
lovely. Thank you so much. So I had been doing it for many years, and it served, it was kind of an adjunct to work I was doing in massage and other things. I came to the market in 2021 specifically because at a time when a storefront wasn't really an option, I didn't have the time or the energy to do that. I was taking, my mom lost her eyesight, and basically the market was an easy thing that I could, where I could have presence, I could meet with customers and clients, meet new customers and clients, and still have the bandwidth to be able to help my mom with what she needed when she was in the worst of her struggle. So I've been doing the work I'm doing for, you know, decades. This is the first time I've organized my work in such a way that it became what came to market, because that was very much a like, what am I going to do? How am I going to do that? Let's do this.
Did you enjoy it?
I love it. The market is the market has always been a source of joy and nourishment, not just food, but also kind of my heart. I love to see what people create. I love to talk to the vendors who are all so passionate about what they do. And from the very first year that I was there, there's a community of folks that are stakeholders within and without, and joining the group of vendors, so many of whom care so much about what it is that we're co-creating and sharing was that was the key for me. So market's kind of magic for me at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's work, it's business. It's some of the days are really stressful. Some of the challenges in management and oversight are a bit confounding, but the end result of what is present every Wednesday and every Saturday for this community to engage and benefit from and participate in is priceless.
Well, I'm sure that Olivia, having Christina as your right hand helper here,
oh my gosh,
and kind of walking you through it, she's so enthusiastic, and that just has to give you the energy to make this work for you.
Yeah. I think I would have maybe ran away in terror without Christina's help these past few months. She's been
very
just
enthusiastic.
A lifesaver for me. So,
and what, just thinking back, you mentioned Bonner's Ferry Farmers Market. Do you have any one memory that?
Well, I was kind of thinking this morning about what the market means to me and, you know, special memories. And I think, of course, it's so vital in this world of increasingly fragile food chains and, you know, environmentally detrimental food supply chains that we support people who are growing and raising food in our area. But it's not just about buying the food. Really, it's about creating these relationships with the people who are providing your food. And, you know, you go to the booth, you kind of talk to them, you go every week, you get to know them, they get to know you. Maybe you sign up for their winter CSA and then you talk to them all winter. Maybe you forget to pick up your CSA, so you go to their farm to get your food, you see their farm, and you become kind of mutually invested in each other's lives. And I think that's kind of how that relationship between where you get your food is meant to be. And I remember as a child, we always went to this one vendor. Her name is Marcia. She's probably still there, but she grew the most amazing vegetables. And she, you know, we would see her every weekend. And then my mom would get a weekly delivery from her, and she'd come to our house, and as kids we called her the carrot lady. That was her name. So I distinctly remember answering the door, she's there, "Mom, the carrot lady's here." That's what we always said, "The carrot lady's here." And it was just like a delight as a child to look in that bag, and who knows what's going to be in there, but it's all going to be so good. And she felt like such a magical figure. So
she actually was, I know her.
Marcia.
Seymour. Well, that's all really fun. It's coming May 3rd is the first market. It's a Saturday. It will be an occasion to remember. And anything else you'd like to say?
Really, just thank you to everyone in the community that in any way, you know, joins us and supports the work of the market and the broader mission of the market. It's brought to life by not only the vendors who take a chance and get in relationship with with us, but also with the community. So we're grateful to everyone who holds space for us and brings us to life.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Well, join us May 3rd. It's going to be really fun.
We've been talking with Olivia Gonzalez. She's the new market manager at the Farmers Market at Sandpoint, and board chair, president, Christina Bauer, and also a vendor at the Farmers Market. It starts May 3rd. Yay! It's always such a great day.
We're excited. 10 days.
In town. Thank you so much for coming in.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.